Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, guys, we made it. Podcast number 300. I can't believe it. Didn't think it would ever happen, but it did. I can't wait for 400 and 500, but massive milestone for Top Shelf Fantasy. For me and Corey Dowse. Corey Dowse got his internet back probably 10 minutes ago, so let's go. God is good to us. He knew that we wanted to record this before the busy Labor Day weekend. So, Dowse, how the hell's it going?
Doing great now. Stressful couple hours there with no internet. Couldn't get anything done. You know how it is trying to run like a Google Sheet off your phone. It's just next to impossible. So, glad that we got it back, got everything we needed, and like you said, record this and get it out to the masses for tomorrow so they can either listen, you know, on a pretty dead work Friday, or you know, maybe have it cranking over your last vacation of the you know, what we call the summer, I guess, out here in New England. Yeah, that's really it. I mean, we're right there. We're right at fantasy season. This is where it all starts. Like, if you haven't done your draft, you're doing your draft this weekend or within the next like 5 days, and that's what life's all about, dude. Like, not that I have a pathetic existence, but this is what my next 4 to 5 months is going to center around. I'm just excited.
Yeah, I mean, we do all these podcasts and articles and crap on each other for months on months and months, and now it's like, all right, put your money where your mouth is. Are you right? Are you not right? And at the end of the day, there's going to be guys that surprise everyone that no one thought, like Kyren Williams or Puka last year. And don't say I called it, because
yeah,
no one did, or else they would have been ranked properly on
right. Like
on
nothing
some sites,
is,
you know,
nothing is worse than the I called it guy. It's like, dude, I told you. It's like, no.
You got him in the fifth round of a rookie draft.
Like, yeah, a 14-team league, 4-round draft. You snagged this guy on a flyer. Great. Like, good on you. You took a flyer. You hit the right guy.
Fantastic.
You did not call him. If he was your guy, you would have taken Puka Nacua in the first round if you really believed in him. So don't give me that. But that being said, I've been there, and I've been like, yeah, dude, I called it.
So, I called it. So smart. But the ones I'm wrong about, Don't worry about it.
Nah, don't even think
I was
about
just joking
those,
about it. No.
Now, Will Fuller, dude, I never paid that
just
guy.
Joking about it.
Never told never everybody happened. He was nasty.
Never. But he was nasty until he just, I don't know.
They should have let him do more steroids. He would have been fine.
Oh, been the greatest player ever. All right. follow us on X, Instagram, and Facebook at TopShelfFNTSY, TopShelfFantasy.com. Check out our Twitter. I got a few things up there the last 2 weeks. Guest on some podcasts and some YouTube articles, so check it out there. Let's get this beautiful mug in the world. Let everyone see who we look like. We aren't that bad looking, I don't think, but that's you know, that's me talking.
Also, listener league.
Yes, we have one spot left. If you want to get on it, you know, again, just comment on any post on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We have a few guys that did comment that are from the area. So if we don't hear back from someone, you know, outside of New England, then we'll give it to one of those guys by tomorrow. But the draft's Tuesday at, I think, 8:30 or 9 p.m. We'll probably try to do a podcast during it. So yeah, if you want to be on there, there's one spot left. So get on there. We actually have Derek Creighton. His son is on there. He's in eighth grade.
Oh, man.
Nate's on there.
We're going to have to monitor the group chat.
Big time. You know what? He's probably way worse.
Yeah,
than
honestly.
Us.
Whatever those kids are into nowadays.
He's in eighth grade. He's vulgar as shit, man.
True.
All right. Let's get into the news. I'll take the first two. We can kind of go 2-2-2. Brandon Ayuk finally signs a deal. 4 years, $130 million extension, $76 million guaranteed. We finally have news on Ayuk. We've, I guess, not teased about it, but every time we've had a podcast, it's something new with him. He's going to the Steelers, going to the Pats. He's staying there. He's holding out. He finally took the deal that was offered to him, I think, 3 weeks ago. Because I think at that at this point, he had no leverage at all. Like, you can't ask for a trade, have two options that are great, and say, no, I don't want to go there. What else do you want the team to do? Like, you got to take the offer.
100%. Like, it's good to have clarity, though, if you're a Brandon Ayuk owner and you drafted him. at least he's in the same situation he's been in and succeeded in. So if you look at it from a fantasy perspective, you know what to expect at least, which is a good thing. You know, there's solace in that. But as far as my confidence in him, like post this contract, like the diva side of him surely came out. And I would say at about year three, I'm probably looking to shop Ayuk off my team because I don't know where he's going to end up going to the highest bidder. He's probably not sticking around in San Fran any longer. And, you know, some of these divas fall off quickly.
Yeah, it's a bad look for a guy that was pretty much quiet to start his career. You didn't think he was like this at all, but I get you want the money. It's fine, but don't pull all the stuff out for 3 months.
Yeah, it's very odd. And I mean, I think I've talked about it in the last couple of pods. If you watch that receiver show on Netflix, like he's weirdly not even interviewed or talked to or anything. And I wonder if there's like an air of saltiness between him and Debo where he's like envious that Debo's kind of the big star that came out of San Fran, even though Ayuk does a lot there. It's like Debo's the household name.
Yeah, but I mean, Debo, like personality wise, is the guy you want on TV. Ayuk doesn't really.
Yeah.
Talk
right,
like I don't know if I've heard him talk
I
that much at all.
If you like played his voice and like didn't show me his face, I wouldn't know. I couldn't even give you a guess who it was.
That's your voice. He's wildly high. Mike Williams to be available for week one for the Jets. That's bigger news than I think people talk about. Probably a guy you got really late in drafts, but a guy that's linked to Aaron Rodgers healthy for now as a wide receiver two for the Jets, I think is huge.
Yeah, I mean, there are leagues I had that he didn't even get drafted, so like that's good news. I go grab him off my waiver wire if I could, or my free agency, whatever you have out there. Because he's a guy that will pop probably the first couple weeks. He might get hurt again, but what, you know, strike while the iron's hot.
40 yards and a touchdown, like that's a great flex start wide receiver three spot.
Yeah, for a guy that you snagged off the, you know, off the scrap heap, essentially. You know, I've got guys that are on pup where, you know, I would love to have a Mike Williams just sitting there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm holding on to, I think there's one league, it's a redraft league where I'm rostering Nick Chubb and TJ Hawkinson. So yeah, is that a smart play? Probably not. But if I can go drop one of them for Mike Williams right now, I'll probably just do that after this podcast's over.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks to do it, but.
I probably won't. It's also talking to somebody else.
I know. It's like, I can't do it. I know. That's hard. All right. You take the next two.
Yeah. Rashee Rice. His situation is what the NFL says being monitored. They are not going to comment on it until more comes out, essentially. And I guess they're probably still talking about a suspension. But as of right now, he has no suspension to open the year. And the NFL very rarely like suspends guys in the middle of the season. So I think that the fact that he's starting the year is at least going to guarantee him a full slate of 2024 games. That's just my guess. But we really don't see a suspension come down in the middle of the year other than, you know, PEDs or you know, a failed drug test or something like that. But purely on disciplinary actions, they'll just kick the can down the road till the following season. At least that's my take on it. In other news, more stuff that we haven't really talked about as much. Jacoby Brissett is named the starter over Drake May in New England for week one. And other quarterback news, Russell Wilson named the starter over Justin Fields in Pittsburgh. I think we saw the Brissett one coming. I think the Russell Wilson one was a little bit more up in the air, but I think we also probably saw that coming deep down in our hearts.
Yeah, if I was going to bet it, I would say Wilson was the guy, regardless. Yeah.
You just think like short leash for Russ Wilson, like
right. I mean, both of these guys not like, oh, I drafted Fields in a deep two quarterback league,
right?
Keep him like he's gonna start at some point. I think like we've seen Russ the last two years,
right?
And if Fields starts, like, yeah, he's not a great NFL player, but for fantasy with his legs and stuff, like 20 points a week,
and for me, like in a fantasy perspective or a dynasty perspective, rather. Like, Fields still has a ton of value. Like, if he sticks around in Pittsburgh and Russ Wilson, like, plays all right even, and he plays the whole season, like, now Fields has another year learning the offense. I doubt Pittsburgh is going to give Russ Wilson at age, what, 35, a bag. So he'll be on his way out if he's even still playing football. And then Fields is, you know, the heir to the throne, so to speak. Yep. So, I mean, I look at it as a positive for both guys, really. If you're a Russ Wilson owner, you're probably thrilled. The inverse, if you're a Drake May owner, you're probably pissed. You probably hoped he was going to get the start week one. Patriots seem to be bringing him along slowly. And Jerod Mayo's all over the place with what he's saying. Like, you know, Brissett's better. May's been better. He seems like he's just kind of struggling in the media handling portion of being a head coach. But as far as football goes, I think Brissett off the rip can put the team in a position to win. I think May is being handled properly, being brought along a little bit more slowly on a team that doesn't have a lot going for it. That's really all I have to say about the Patriots. They are going to be bad to watch this year.
Yeah, and even if they go like 0-4, it's not like, oh, they should have started Drake May. It's like this line's so bad. Like maybe you build up the line, maybe they're better than you think, you know, by week 5 or 6, and then you feel more comfortable about Drake May. If they're not, then it's a crap. This line can't hold anything. Then why, you know, why put him out there to just get destroyed every week? Like that's going to destroy his confidence. But I mean, you can make any argument of like, oh, rookie should start to, you know, to see it day one. We've seen it work. We've also seen it destroy people's career. So I'm fine with it. There's no point to rush out a guy on a horrific offense.
Yeah, the only like bad thing that could happen really is like the Patriots do come out and win games. Like Brissett goes 4-0, and you're like, what do we do? Like, do we just keep like trying to win? Do we put the rookie in and let him like succeed? Like Brissett's looked good. Like maybe we can get May to do it too. And then you're like, well, do we even really want to win games? Because our team isn't very good. So yeah, I don't know. I doubt it happens. I don't think it's gonna be a problem we have to face. That's just my one concern. Like winning would actually be a negative for the Patriots at this point. That's my take. The final piece. Dalvin Cook is signed by the Cowboys. Finally, Dalvin Cook finds a home. The Cowboys find a running back. We've been talking about it forever now, it seems like. Who's gonna end up in Dallas? Who's gonna be the guy? Turns out it was Dalvin Cook who had that on their bingo sheet, not me.
Not me. I know he was going to work out with the Colts the following day too. So he had teams that he was actually going to visit, kind of like last year. So he had options. I mean, we talked about this before the podcast, probably yesterday when he signed. Like, as a Zeke owner, you'd probably feel good because, you know, it's a guy that hasn't been playing, practicing on a team or any training camps. Yesterday, he's working out and stuff, but like a guy like, you know, P. Ryan could have gone there instead. And I think I would have felt more shook than Dalvin Cook going there because P. Ryan would have started on the roster in my mind. Cook's now in the practice squad. See if he, you know, can get a role. Shouldn't be too hard to beat out Deuce Vaughn in my mind to get on the field. But if Deuce Vaughn's used in special teams, then, you know, that's the guy that's going to be on the field more.
Exactly. You're not going to see Dalvin Cook flying down on kicks. So, you know, that's what some of these guys stick around for. So,
All right. Getting to cut candidates that we had last week, I believe. We all put together a quarterback, RB, wide receiver, and tight end each. So I'll go through mine. I said Zach Wilson will be cut with Bo Nix as a starter instead of him as a backup. They're holding three quarterbacks. Zach Wilson is still there. That's a miss. RB, Khalil Herbert. This was a shot in the dark kind of thing. He's still there. I'm surprised. I mean, he still could be traded at some point, but he's still with the team. Wide
he's probably the
receiver.
best player on this list too. Like, so
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I
we'll say
mean,
that's a little bold.
all the guys we're talking about are like fantasy relevant. You probably got Herbert as like a cuff if you want to for Swift. Like he's probably draftable. All the other guys probably aren't. Wide receiver Allen Robinson hit. He was cut. Signed with Detroit practice squad. I still count that as a hit because, like,
100%.
practice
Change
squads
teams.
still don't mean, like, wide receivers, too. They probably won't get on the field. That it's just way too deep. Irv Smith Jr., I didn't even know that he was cut. It just shows that it wasn't really in the news that he was cut. He was just cut
Right.
from Kansas City. So he was released, and that's a hit.
Yeah, Casey actually traded for another tight end from Dallas. We'll get into that later. Peyton Hendershot. As far as mine go, I had Bailey Zappe, who sucks at football, and they cut him. He was picked up by KC, and now he'll sit on the bench behind Pat Mahomes and Carson Wentz. Then I had Isaiah Spiller, who was kept but on the practice squad. So technically he was cut and then brought back onto the practice squad. So I'm going to take that as a hit anyways. Noah Brown at my wide receiver position. He was cut and then nearly immediately picked up by the Commanders, which I believe, Scott, you said on the podcast.
Yeah, like a team. Oh, they just lost Dawson. That kind of makes sense. You know, that Felix Richard kind of guy. So, yeah, look at us.
And then the one that I missed on was the one that I thought was just money in the bank. Albert Okwuegbunam.
He got lucky.
Somehow just perfectly times up an injury, heads to IR. He'll stick around. He's not counted towards the 53 man, but whatever. Fuck him. He's not going to see a snap this year.
No, not at all. All right. Notable cuts by team. Want to just go back and forth on teams? I'll
yeah,
go
we'll
first.
Just swap around and then talk about the impact, I guess.
Sure. Arizona Cardinals, Michael Carter, Dan Chisina, the wide receiver. I don't know. Desmond Ridder. I believe Desmond Ridder landed back on their practice squad.
Could be. Yeah.
That's
I
it.
did.
Like Michael Carter, I think, is a fine RB out there for a team to pick up at some point. He does a little bit of everything, but he's not what we thought he would be with the Jets the first year.
Yeah, he felt like a good complement to James Conner, but with Trey Benson in town now, he's kind of redundant. So makes sense. Why hold him? He's probably getting paid more than, you know, what they're going to sign some other bum to do the same thing for. Moving forward to Atlanta, Chris Blair, the wide receiver who led the NFL in preseason stats, was cut just to go to show who gives a shit about preseason. All you Mac Jones truthers out there, shut the fuck up. Sort of surprisingly, I had as a note that they kept Taylor Heinicke, which would put them at three total quarterbacks on their roster. And then as soon as I wrote that, he was traded to the Chargers. So Heinicke out of town as well, not necessarily cut, but still moved off the team. And now he'll back up Justin Herbert in LA.
I think he was going to be cut. And it's one of those things like a Joe Mixon, oh, he's going to be cut. I'll call you right now. I'll get him instead.
Yeah, because the Chargers don't want to wait in the pickup order. Maybe they just picked somebody else up, so their waiver order was off or whatever it is. They're like, we'll just get him. Here's a seventh on our way.
Yep. All right. The Ravens, Malik Cunningham. I love that wide receiver slash quarterback cut. Keith Kirkwood, wide receiver Anthony Miller, who is back on the practice squad. Keaton Mitchell remains on the PUP list while rookie Rashia Lee is in a concussion protocol. I did not see that. Justice Hill has found himself in the perfect situation every year.
Yep.
Boys and girls growing up, be Justice Hill. Go to a team where there's prolific players that are injury prone because you'll always have a spot.
The Ravens just, their running backs every year seem hurt. Like,
you
whatever their training program is,
you can't save it. It's like, oh, let's get rid of JK Gus. They're always hurt. Bring these guys.
Yep.
Damn it.
And I only tossed Anthony Miller in there because I know that you love him and he's gone.
It's not that like Grady. 4 years ago, he was really good.
Yeah.
Hey, he's still back on the team, though, okay?
He's one of the most fun college players to watch, like, ever.
Yeah. And then that's also one of those, like, 700 yards, seven touchdown rookies. It's going to be good. I paid for it.
Next team up, Buffalo Bills. Frank Gore Jr., unfortunately, was released. Darrington Evans cut. Tyrell Shavers was another one who had showed out in preseason. He was released as well. Damir Bird, Andy Isabella, KJ Hamler, all wide receivers cut. And Trey McKitty was let go as well. It's interesting because they're only carrying five wide receivers total on the team now. And we had heard that Curtis Samuel and MVS specifically were dinged up. So
I thought
be healthy.
MVS was going to be cut because practice, but banged up.
Yeah, instead they're going into the season with obviously their talented tight ends, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid, not in that order, they put in the other order. And then you have Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, MVS, Curtis Samuel, and who am I forgetting? But Khalil Shakir is the longest tenured Bills wide receiver, which is kind of nuts considering he's like a 2 year pro.
God, the amount of Darthos gonna be picking for MVS is gonna be so scary.
Yeah, seriously. He'll be a good pick.
All right, Carolina Panthers cut Terrace Marshall, big rookie a couple years ago. He did latch on with the Niners that we'll get to. Michael Strachan, wide receiver Mike Boone. Jordan Matthews, the tight end, where I think he's now back on the practice squad.
He did.
He did. Okay. and then Jonathan Brooks. I think we talked about this probably podcast ago. 2 weeks ago, but he's on the pup to start the season. So he's had at least the first 4 weeks, which is kind of funny because, like, we always thought, like, the coach kind of said, oh, he's out, like, you know, 3 weeks to start the season, and we're drafting him, you know, as so. But now he's out four. It's like, and then people are like, do I cut him? Like, all right, what the hell is one more game that right. you're going to cut, like, a ninth round pick? No, right. Stop it. Like, get out of town.
Yeah, if you had the guts to draft him where you drafted him in drafts, just hang on to him. It's not going to break the bank. There's probably not a better guy out there anyway, so move on. Unless you can go get Mike Williams. I'm just kidding. Don't do it. Next team, Chicago Bears. I kind of put some guys that you may have been endeared to from watching Hard Knocks this year. But Kari Blasingame, fullback cut. I got a couple fullbacks on this list, unfortunately. We are seeing almost the death of the fullback in the NFL. Colin Johnson, who was a big standout on Hard Knocks. You saw him. They keep calling him Mr. Colin Johnson. He's like 6'6", big red zone threat.
He's old Jaguars cut. Player. Yep.
Yep, exactly. Austin Reed and Brett Rypien, both quarterbacks. They were both cut. So it looks like they're running with Bagent and Caleb Williams as their two guys. Makes which sense. Is what I think, you know, you would have expected anyways. And then Dante Pettis, still on the team, but he is, as always, injured on IR.
It's funny, like, you can't have a better preseason than Colin Johnson, and boom, he's cut again.
Yeah.
It means, like, almost nothing. It's more practice than
right. It's so much more what they see in practice than what they do in the games. Because yeah. You can go out and have 200 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they're like, yeah, well, it's preseason. Like, why am I even playing these?
Yep. And it's the same thing with Frank Gore, too. Crushed it.
Yeah, crushed it.
The Bengals, no notable guys there for fantasy, so we can kind of move on.
Yeah, take another one. You can actually do a team.
Thank you. Nick Chubb to remain on pup to start the season, so he's out. At the least 4 weeks, I wouldn't say great. I drafted him. He's back week 5. I know people think that he's on the pup. That way he's not out for the year. He can go right back on the pup on week 5. He's not ready yet. I think it's a longer thing. I think it's more like week 8-10 in my mind. So we'll talk about, you know, Jerome Ford later in our next segment, but Deontay Foreman was cut back on the practice squad. James Prochet, best to ever do it, cut. I don't know if he landed back on the squad. And Jalen Darden, the old Bucks receiver, did not make the Browns team.
Yeah, I think he might be kept on the practice squad, but, I mean, they have a plethora of those undersized wide receivers, like 5'8", 180 pounds.
Fast,
like,
guys, kick returners, yeah.
Yeah, they don't need any more of those hanging around there.
They should trade one of those guys to the Rams so Kyren Williams doesn't have to do it.
Seriously, like that piece of news we probably should have talked about is just insane, that Kyren Williams is going to be your punt returner. Like, give me a break. But I digress. The Dallas Cowboys, they cut, this is, I don't know why I even put this on here, but Carl Lawson, mostly because he was a standout defensive end for years, but they cut him. He was trying to latch on behind, you know, their top studs like Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, but he just couldn't find a role, couldn't get anything done in preseason. Snoop Connor, the running back formerly drafted by the Jaguars, was cut. Malik Davis, cut. Royce Freeman, cut.
The Royce Freeman one was surprising because I thought, like, I mean, I guess the Devin Cook signing kind of shows, like, oh, he might not be on the practice squad for too long. Because I thought, like,
yeah,
Royce was a big pickup in Dynasty because, like, you know, it's Dowdle and old Zeke. Like, Royce could really have a role there. You don't know. Shot in the dark. But
I think it goes to show you how much the Cowboys like Rico Dowdle. Like, I think they like Zeke a lot too, obviously. But I think Rico Dowdle is going to have a pretty solid role.
And he was fine last year. I mean,
yeah, he wasn't bad. It's just, you know, if you ask them to do a lot with Tony Pollard there, like, you're going to ask them to do a lot with, you know, a 30-year-old Zeke there too. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But then Peyton Hendershot was traded to KC. He's the tight end that we referenced earlier. Also, CeeDee Lamb is still on the commissioner's exempt list. And not that I think that matters, but somebody else is going to have to get cut because he's not counted towards their 53-man yet, which is interesting just to see who it might be. It'll probably be some random, like, you know,
wide receiver
I've never heard of, or some bum receiver, but definitely something worth monitoring just to see who else gets cut off this team.
Yeah. Denver Broncos, Samaje Perine, we'll get to where he landed. Michael Burton, the fullback, again, the fullbacks are dying. Tim Patrick, which I think was more shocking, you know, a fan favorite. Thought
he's
he'd
been good too.
He's one of the better receivers. His health the last couple of years has been shit. So maybe
and he
that's
gets three for 33 or 3 for 30 a couple years back.
Legit deal, yeah. He's out. Philip Dorsett's out. Little Jordan Humphrey is out. So a lot of receivers cut there. Which I was surprised because their receiver depth isn't really that good.
Right. There's not a lot of guys left to catch the ball. I know, what's his name? Valet is catching a lot of heat right now, and he's picking up steam and getting picked up in dynasty formats, but we'll see.
Rightfully so. I mean, he beat out all these guys, which is great.
Right. I mean, this is step one towards a role, right? So you survived the first round of cuts. Now you got to survive the rest of the year and be effective. Moving on to the Detroit Lions. They had some interesting cuts here. Nate Sudfeld at quarterback gets cut, which puts Hendon Hooker into the backup role behind Jared Goff, which is a little bit interesting, but I think with where they took him, that kind of tracks accurately. Donovan Peoples-Jones was unable to find a permanent spot at wide receiver on the team. Tom Kennedy, who was the darling of Hard Knocks a year ago, also cut. Jake Fromm, former quarterback of, what was he, Georgia?
Bills? Oh, that was in the Bills at some point.
Could have been. But anyways, he was cut. Jamar Jefferson, running back, cut. Zonovan Knight, former Jets running back, cut. And Shane Zylstra, the tight end, cut.
Go on. Well, one more bit of news.
Well, I already said it. Hendon Hooker is the backup quarterback.
All right, I'll fuck off then. All right. the Green Bay Packers, they acquire Malik Willis via trade with the Titans. Is it still pending physical?
He might have done it today. When I put this in, he was still pending it, but
I don't know what the trade was. Probably it's like a 6-round swap, 6-7, yeah, I assume.
Couldn't have been much. I mean, he stinks at football.
Yeah, he's not a good player for the ball. Samari Torre, the wide receiver, had a lot of hype a couple years ago, but that receiver room is way too deep. A.J. Dillon, this was shocking. 6th round, he's on IR for the whole season. I didn't really hear about this. I know he was banged up, but not banged up enough to just go on PUP for 4 weeks. So that opens the door for, you know, a lot of other backs like Emmanuel Wilson, Lloyd, if he can be healthy week one. But A.J. Dillon to IR, I think, was one of the biggest shockers. Not that I was drafting much in fantasy at all. But yeah, a guy that has a contract because he's on our IR. Like they might just be like, hey, you're not that good. Let's toss you on IR. We like you. You're banged up.
Right.
Here's the insurance.
Yeah. And I did confirm Malik Willis was for a 2025 7th round pick.
Wow.
So the Titans are trading a former 3rd round pick for a 7th round straight up.
Who should have been a 1st round pick.
And he honestly might be QB2 because I didn't include these guys on the list, but Sean Clifford was also cut. So there's not really anybody else there to push that to Malik Willis for the second spot. So that might speak to what they want to do offensively. Maybe they want that mobile type in the event that Jordan Love goes down, but very interesting. We'll put it there.
Yep.
Houston Texans. We touched on this before. Noah Brown was released. Quintez Cephas, Ben Skowronek, formerly of the Los Angeles Rams, and then J.J. Taylor, the former darling of the New England Patriots at running back, all released, which makes sense. I mean, they have a loaded wide receiver and running back room. Those are where we expected to see the most cuts.
Yep. All right. The Colts. Greg Ward, Edmund Hull cut, Demetric Felton cut, Laquan Treadwell. Haley's still on the team to even try out.
I say it every time I see his name. I thought he was going to be so good.
Again, it's one of the other, you know, huge first round in dynasty drafts guy. Like,
yeah,
it happens.
Him and Josh Doctson.
Josh Doctson. God, I thought it was going to be so good.
What could have been?
We still have to do a podcast for what could have been. It's like, well, no, because it never was.
True. Jacksonville Jaguars. They cut Josiah DeGuara at tight end, Gary Brightwell at running back, CJ Beathard at quarterback. Shout out Mac Jones. He did well enough to get this spot over him. Terrell Edmonds at the defensive back position, and then Denzel Mims, shout out Craig, at wide receiver.
There's
Couldn't
another first round
hack it.
pick.
Yeah, I thought Mims was going to be good too, so I won't put that entirely on Craig, but yeah, that's a stinker. He's never done anything.
The Chiefs, Keonta Ingram, cut. Makes sense. Denaric Prince was more shocking, but again, preseason hype. He was taking the backup roles ahead of CEH to start, preseason. Also, CEH was out almost the entire summer, so that's kind of why. Again, don't fall into preseason hype. Cornell Powell, wide receiver. Kadarius Toney, finally cut. Irv Smith cut. And like we said, they did sign Samaje Perine after he was cut by the Broncos. So that makes sense with McKinnon not there to take on some of that third down actual pass blocking role, which I mean, we can talk about it a bit. I have, Pacheco as a breakout guy. Perine signed there. Everyone's like, drop Pacheco a bunch. It's never a bad world to have a running back off the field a little bit. Like, you don't want
Right.
Pacheco 90% of the freaking touches or snaps. It's good. You don't want these guys to get hurt. It's the same thing with like Rashad White and Bucky Irvin. Like, you want that. You want a
Right.
breath for these starters. Because if you do that, look at, back in the day with like Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, those guys break down by week 12. You can't do it.
And there's really no reason to have a guy like Pacheco eating blocks on third down or any passing down for
And
that
the way
matter.
he blocks hard.
Right.
Too too hard.
Let P. Ryan go in and do it. He's really good at it. He's also a bigger guy than Pacheco. Like, let him just do it. He can
Smart
eat
as
the
shit.
defensive end all day. Like, and CEH is he's still there. He's gonna do his stuff. He'll give a breather here and there. I like those three guys in a running back room. I think that's a fantastic mesh of different talents. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs need any more help or any more praise from anybody. They get enough fellatio on every single ESPN segment, but great pickup. Again, that's what good teams do. They go out and get the right guys, and P. Ryan is the right guy.
Yeah, it's funny because we always say, like, oh, when Perine gets cut, he's going to Cowboys, which I thought made a lot of sense. He went to KC. I'm like, oh, that makes way m more sense than the
Yeah,
Cowboys do.
like
So,
Dallas had more of a need at the running back position, but KC had more of a need at like the we're going to continue to be dominant and take every single
third
player that we
down
can get.
roll, like
Yeah.
everything we can get, we're going to do. Yep.
Like Jerick McKinnon's finally too old to come back. Okay, cool. Here's our new guy. Check him out. He's pretty good. He has the NCAA record for rushing yards in a game or something
Yeah,
like
which is
that.
fucking insane.
Like, come on, guy's a freak. And he's, playing in the NFL for next to nothing for KC. So, very interesting. I like the Kadarius Toney one is interesting too. He hasn't latched on anywhere yet either.
Which is
I'd be surprised if he doesn't, but I don't know. Maybe people are sick of him. He's like, he's an attitude problem and he has a drop problem too.
Yeah, and like we always say, like, you make fun of people that like, oh, have all the drops. If it was Deontay Johnson, if it's Jamar Chase, Keenan Allen, some years. But like, this was a bad drop case where
Yeah.
like lost games. Like, he would drop it so easily for the quarterbacks to pick it off and run for pick six, and that's a pick six for Mahomes' stat line. Like, his
Yeah.
drops were horrendous.
Like wide open, essentially what is uncovered in the NFL terms, and then he would like volleyball set the ball in the air. It's like,
But yeah,
can't
but
do that.
there also m might not be a better return guy in the league than Tony. We saw what he did 2 years in the Super Bowl with
Right.
ease. Like, he's gonna go on a team like, all right, he's the kick return guy
Rams. Day one. Kyron,
again.
go sit
Yeah,
down.
because we've listed a lot of guys that can do that role right now.
Exactly. All right, back to some cuts. The Chargers, they cut Donald Parham, that tight end, Isaiah Spiller, as we discussed before, and Cornelius Johnson at wide receiver. The Parham one's interesting because we actually talked about him on our last podcast and said, maybe Hurst was even on the bubble because they had a guy like Parham and said they went the other way. You'd think, given his size and his ability to block, they would have been happy to keep him around without a lot of other weapons, but apparently not. Isaiah Spiller and Cornelius Johnson, much more predictable. I was hoping Cornelius Johnson was going to have a role this year, but
No,
apparently not.
Spiller is on the practice squad. I mean, I
Yeah.
guess we don't just say, oh, well, they latched onto the squad. There's still cuts. It's still
Yeah.
they don't really need him. Parham cut. I think that Hurst, not that he's a guy you're drafting, but like it just shows, yeah, they sign him. They're gonna keep him. They're gonna use Hurst. Like that's a target that Herbert's gonna use a lot. They also have Will Disley, I think, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, the Rams. They traded Ernest Jones the fourth to the Titans instead of having to pay him next year. I don't know what the was it a sixth round pick?
They traded for somebody like significant, I think. One moment.
Other cuts, Zach Evans, Boston Scott, running backs, Tyler Higbee, tight end, will start on PUP, and Jimmy
No, you're
G's.
right. Sixth rounder.
Yeah. So Tyler Higbee is on the PUP, which we all thought. Jimmy G is still on the IR slash suspended for four games, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's
And that
four.
still counts when you're on IR.
If it does, that is a great loophole.
Yes, it's a great loophole. If it doesn't, then damn, he's out for a while.
People always forget. They're like, oh, no, he's just on IR, not suspended. No, I'm hurt. I didn't cheat. His was for like something stupid, right? He was doing like Adderall.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was in that medication. My doctor said it was fine. You okay?
Exactly. Las Vegas Raiders, they cut Nathan Peterman of five interceptions in one game fame and Dax Milne, the wide receiver. It's a tough day for
Damn,
the Milne family.
I tough day for the Mill family. Oh, it's too bad. All right, moving the fuck on. Skylar Thompson kept at QB over Mike White. I think that's, I don't know, not shocking, but I think when Mike White went there last year, he was one of the, like, in Dynasty, you keep this guy on your team because he's one of the best quarterback cuffs in the league. He did great with the Jets for a few games, but he is now, was he cut or was he was cut and then signed with.
I know he was cut. I don't think he's practice squatted either. He
He just
he's
signed
with
with, no, he signed
Buffalo.
with
Yeah,
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
And he signed with their practice squad, so. Do
Selvin
they still have
Ahmed,
Case
Mitch,
Keenum there?
they Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, Mr. Trubisky, right.
Selvin Ahmed, RB, sad day. He's been on the team for a long time. Anthony McFarlane, Zender Horvath, running back, and Eric Ezekumana. Oh, can't do it.
I
Ezekumana.
included some of these guys just because they've been on the team either as draft picks or like contributors. Like even Xander Horvath, we saw run the ball back when Salvin Ahmed and Myles Gaskin were both banged up. So it's like, you know, end of an era. Anthony McFarlane, not so much. Minnesota Vikings, next team up. Not fantasy related, but Lewis Cine, the safety, their 2022 first pick off the board. Joins Andrew Booth, their second pick off the board, and they were both cut. So, bye-bye now. As for cuts from this year, Matt Corral, the quarterback, Myles Gaskin, who we just talked about, running back, N'Keal Harry at tight end, piece of shit,
No.
Dwayne McBride, running back, Kenny Nwangu, who I always thought was going to be so good at running back and just never was, and then my least favorite player of all time, Robert Tonyan at tight end, was also cut.
Nice.
TJ Hawkinson remains on the PUP and will be there for at least the first 4 weeks of the season. He's a guy who I would expect back more quickly than Nick Chubb. I think his 4 weeks is like a real 4 weeks.
I think them cutting Tonyan kind of shows that too. So they
Yeah.
what? Is it Johnny Munt? Is he still
They
there?
have Munt and I believe Josh Oliver.
Okay, so yeah, but the Dwayne McBride and Kenny Ndongwu, I thought one would stay. Now they have two running backs on the roster, I think. They have just Ty Chandler and Aaron Jones, I believe, on the chart, which makes
Yeah, it's not
no
enough.
sense to for, Aaron Jones, pretty injury prone. Ty Chandler kind of banged up here and there. So I thought one of those guys would stay at least for the special teams. But
Yeah, that's weird. I guess they still have CJ Ham, but he's not really a running back. He's just a
still
loser.
counts as a back on your team, though.
Not a
That's
friend
weird.
of the program, so fuck him.
Not a friend. I can't believe he's on a cut yet. He's the last fullback that is in the league now.
Yeah, seriously.
The Patriots, they cut Jalen Reagor, Bailey Zappi, who latches on with the Chiefs.
Chiefs, yep.
And Kevin Harris. The Kevin Harris one was kind of surprising. I thought he's kind of like a dart throw sleeper this year if like Stevenson got banged up. But I guess they're really confident in Stevenson and Tony Gibson. They're just really on the backfield. I'm not sure who else is there for running back. I should know it because I'm a Patriots insider, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it was strange, right? And like, I even heard that they told him that they were going to cut him if they couldn't trade him. So they tried to trade him and then couldn't, obviously, because why would any team trade for a guy that you don't want? So you have zero leverage. Oh, you know who they still have there? JaMychal Hasty.
No shit.
Yeah. That makes sense because he's the best to ever do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's the starter probably. Fuck Stevenson. I'm gonna go pick him up.
Yep. Damn.
He's the remainder of my Fab and Dynasty and pick him up real quick. Yeah, I mean it's interesting. Kevin Harris should latch on somewhere though. He's talented enough that he should be able to find a role. And he's a special team guy if he needs to be. The New Orleans Saints. I keep having the defensive guys. I'm happy about this. Jonathan Abram was a surprise cut. He was fighting for a starting role. He played starting reps everywhere he's been in his career. But he's cut and let go from the Saints. I think he's probably making too much money to keep around. And then Samson Nakua. Yes, that is Puka's brother. He was cut at wide receiver. James Robinson, running back, just can't find a home anymore. And then Equanimeous St. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown's brother, cut at wide receiver as well. So got a couple brothers on this team, and then James Robinson, just a sad story.
Injuries, man. The injury.
I want him to be good. I still want him to be good.
Yeah, it's too late now. Yeah. The Giants for the first time under Daboll and Shane Stokin.
Joe Shane.
What?
Joe Shane.
Yeah. They hit three quarterbacks, which I think makes a lot of sense just to see how banged up and bad the team is. Dalen Jones, horrific. Drew Lock, banged up. And I think in their mind, Drew Lock's probably, you know, the best guy as a quarterback too, but he's hurt. So they keep DeVito too.
I think you could even take it one step further than that. And they go, if we do end up having to bench Daniel Jones because he's being ineffective, he's not going to play a backup role for us. So we need all three guys. Like if we rip him off the field in disgrace and we start playing Drew Lock, then we need DeVito as our backup because Danny Jones is going to be checked out. He might be like a healthy scratch.
Yeah. And with all these new rules, they don't have to dress all three each week. You know, I doubt they do. It makes no sense, especially for the Giants. They need all the help they can get anywhere else. So
They can designate one as like the emergency quarterback too, right? Like that, even if he's not dressed, yep. Like say both guys go down and then they got Tommy, get dressed. You're like, all right, cool.
And for me, like Drew Lock is like a poor man's Gardner Minshew, where it's like he's at least like a fan favorite kind of thing. Like he's gonna like they're gonna suck, but be fun
he's
with
gonna
it.
He's gonna sling it.
He's gonna sling it. Like you sling it to neighbors. Hyatt could have some games with Drew Lock. Dalen Jones is just even in preseason against the horrific second string teams, he couldn't do it. No quarterback threw a touchdown pass for the Giants in preseason. That shows you what the season is going to look like for the Giants.
It's so bad. Yeah, I can't see a world where they do anything successful with the quarterback play that we've seen. Like, if Daniel Jones can get back to how he looked previously in his career, sure, like anything's possible. But he's like almost Mac Jones to me. He's just mentally broken. Maybe he needs a change of scenery to figure something else out.
Yep, you can't get rid of the contract, though. That's impossible.
Very true.
Cuts, Allen Robinson, we talked about before. Isaiah Hodgins, a wonder 2 years ago. Sad to see him go. Miles Boykin, Joshua Kelly, Jack Stoll. Josh Kelly is a funny thing to me because, like, when he was the Chargers and Eckler, every time he went down, Kelly was awesome. He was fun. Yeah.
He was totally serviceable.
So, even with the Chargers now, it's like, I know it's a different coaching scheme and like there's all new RBs there, but like he's a guy that like knows how to play running back. But it might, you know, it could have just been the offensive scheme then where he's good. I don't know. I mean, we do see it a lot with these kind of guys. Like, they could be great, like Cedric Benson, 1,000-yard season, and then he's out of the NFL. Like, it happens.
Cedric Benson, great callback.
Thank you.
The New York Jets, they cut Deion Jackson at running back, Anthony Firkser at tight end, and Zach Kuntz at tight end. So, cool. That's all I have for you.
Awesome.
Bunch of bums.
The Eagles. John Ross, which was a bigger pickup than I expected a couple months ago in Dynasty because he's fast. Cut. Paris Campbell cut on a practice squad. Will Greer, quarterback. Tyron Davis Price, running back. This is only his second year or third year, because
there could be a third year because he was 2-2 in San Fran.
It might have been one.
Could have been one. It's hard to say because he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, exactly. Alberto, of course, on IR, like we discussed previously.
Yeah, I think the Jahan Dotson acquisition probably plays a role in both Ross and Campbell not finding a spot. Without him, one of them probably hangs around, but whatever. Pittsburgh Steelers, Quez Watkins, cut. LaMichael Perine, cut. Jonathan Ward, cut. Des Fitzpatrick, cut. So two wide receivers, Quez Watkins and Dez, and then two running backs, LaMichael and Jonathan Ward, which is kind of interesting with the Jaylen Warren news. You'd think maybe they would have kept more running backs, but they seem unbothered by it.
Yeah, it could show that Warren's ready for week one, too.
Yeah.
San Fran, another biggest shocker of the week. Elijah Mitchell lands on IR. He came back from a hamstring injury, practiced, re-injured that hamstring where he's getting surgery on it. I think he's done in the NFL. It sucks. A guy that showed promises rookie year, but he can't fight injuries. Even when CMC was banged up anytime, he was also banged up too. So he could never really get on the field. So that's one of those sad things. A guy that beat out, you know, Trey Sermon. He was even hurt and they still cut Trey Sermon. Just shows a lot about Trey Sermon too. That sucks. I was a big Mitchell guy.
Yeah, easy to like, dude. Yeah, for sure.
Ayuk and Trent Williams. Well, Ayuk signed. We talked about that beforehand. Trent Williams is still holding out. That's their next piece of the puzzle. They have to do it quick. The season starts very soon. Without Trent Williams, that line, I wouldn't say gets depleted, but gets a lot worse. Especially if you have George Kittle in any league, George Kittle's going to have to block a lot more if Trent holds out, you know, the first couple of weeks. He does it every year. It's kind of annoying, but hopefully they sign him. Cut. Robbie Chosen Anderson. Cut. He lands with the Dolphins practice squad. Trent Taylor. Cut. Logan Thomas. Cut for a second time in 2 weeks on the same team. That's just mean.
Right. Hey, can you actually come back? All right. Hey, you're cut again.
Psych. That Ashton Kutcher guy is like, oh, we got you so good, man. Danny Gray, wide receiver cut. Cameron Latu, the tight end. Matt Breida, cut, which is surprising with the Elijah Mitchell to IR. Keyshawn Vaughn, I didn't know was even in San Fran, to be honest.
Me neither.
Again, a surprise cut if Elijah Mitchell's on IR. So is it CMC, Jordan Mason? I don't know who the hell else is on the team now. Davis Price is gone. Breed is gone. Like, I'm trying to think of who else.
Yeah, I can only think of those two. Let's see what we've got here. Dun, dun, dun. Isaac Guerrero and Patrick Taylor.
The rookie. Yep. You're right.
Yep.
Makes sense. Okay. Yep. And Terrace Marshall lands with San Fran after being cut by Panthers. Fantasy wise, not much for him. He's behind a lot of solid guys and two rookies there. But if there's a team to go to learn, it's San Fran. Like, if he goes there for a year, practice squad, backup role, there's no better team to go to learn. It's a lot better than the Panthers.
Yeah, and with the number of wide receivers that they did cut, I hate to give him any credit, but Dickey's guy, Jacob Cowing, is definitely a person to keep your eye on. even just as a
Well,
change
especially
of pace.
if Ricky Pearsall can't stay healthy and he can't, he's hurt every bone in his body in 4 weeks. So
exactly.
I mean, Ayuk is back there now. So I mean, it would be tough for him to really get like reps, I think. But
oh yeah,
it's
right,
the NFL.
One injury away.
Yep, exactly.
Moving on to the Seahawks, we've got PJ Walker, quarterback, cut, and D. Eskridge, former not top pick, but he's
second
what, top,
round.
Yeah, the top, yeah, top two rounds or two, three rounds. Let go. I mean, I that's probably just JSN's development. Like, there, we don't need all these guys. So,
yeah, and they have Jake Bobo there too. Like, there's Jake Bobo there, I think.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so at least. He
that
was
was
there
good.
Last year. Is that helpful?
Yes. The Bucks, Sterling Shepard, cut. I was surprised he even got, you know, a chance.
Same.
His brain's destroyed. Cody Thompson, wide receiver. DJ Williams, the running back. And Chase Edmonds on season-ending IR, I think, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Another shocking one, too. The guy that was banged up and, you know.
Yeah, Edmonds is season-ending, and then Rakeem Jarrett is coming back.
Yep. I thought Edmonds was a fine, you know, Bucky Irvin's there, but you know, like that guy that's been in the offense, I think would have had a role. But that also meant that Sean Tucker kept a roster spot too on the team.
The Tennessee Titans cut Hassan Haskins, who landed with the Chargers. I know we talked about them a few times, so he's another face in that backfield.
Old coach, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct. Good call. And then Kyle Phillips, the wide receiver. He didn't land anywhere that I know of, which it's probably tracks accurately for his talent.
I thought he had a lot of promise too. A lot of injuries though.
Yeah, couldn't stay healthy. Kept getting outplayed by like Nick Westbrook Akini.
Mm-hmm.
And then just fell by the wayside.
Yeah, and Titans have a lot of receivers there too, so that makes
Yeah.
a lot of sense. In the last team, the Commanders. They released 5 of the 7 players drafted by Rivera in the 2023 draft class. Only Emmanuel Forbes and Quan Martin remain.
Yeah, to be fair, it was a bunch of bums. Like, they weren't even really worth listing, but Chris Rodriguez was the cream of that crop.
Damn.
I thought Chris Rodriguez was going to be good, too.
Same. So that's a guy in like our deep best ball league that I was like eyeing late. I didn't get him and I was kind of mad about him. Like, oh, he's an Eckler injury away of like getting a
Right.
role. Damn.
Yep.
Martavis Bryant, that was a big pickup last month. Guys, stop. It's the same like Josh Gordon. He's gonna be on these teams, get cut, stop it. Trace McSorley, the quarterback, cut. John Dotson. Again, he doesn't really count, but traded to the Eagles.
Yeah, that'll do it for all of the team cut downs to the 53-man rosters. I know there's a couple guys that are still probably hanging out in the balance. Like if Trent Williams doesn't report, or if he does, then they got to cut somebody else in San Fran. But that's still a lot of movement and a lot of opportunity for guys that stuck around on teams, especially the youngsters.
Yep. All right. Last segment, risers and fallers. We'll start with some risers. I'll go first. Jerome Ford. He was never properly ranked, I think, based off of Nick Chubb. Everyone kind of thought, oh, he'd be back sooner than later. But he's rising now. If you got him like 2 weeks ago in drafts, you got him like the 11th, 12th round, which is a huge steal now. He's at least 4 weeks of being probably a legit RB2.
Yeah, I mean, I got him for $12 a year in our dynasty league, and people were chirping me at that point. I mean, we do that pretty early, but I was like, he's a starter, dude.
Yeah. No, that,
I mean,
that's
I
a
got
good.
Him for 4 years. That might have been why I got chirped, but whatever. yeah, Bo Nix is our next riser. I think that's a fairly easy one. He's a rookie quarterback who was able to secure a starting job over not like two studs, but two other former NFL quarterbacks and starters. So definitely the future is bright for him. He's probably has value in two quarterback formats at this point, now that you know that he's a starter.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Rashee Rice, definitely a riser. I think if you drafted 3 weeks or a month ago, you're getting him wicked late. I mean, in my Scott Fishbowl draft, I got him as wide receiver 47,
Right.
which I think is a massive steal now. I think closer to the season starting, there was no, suspension happening. So everyone's like, shit, he's actually not going to get suspended. Even if he was, I think it's like you just still draft him the way like he's getting 4 weeks out
Right.
kind of thing. So I think he's a huge riser. If you haven't drafted this weekend, no way he's going to fall to you. Like he's actually getting drafted the way he should be. So if you got him like the eighth, ninth round weeks ago, good for you. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, you even toss in the Hollywood Brown injury, where we're not sure when he's coming back, and Xavier Worthy has not looked fantastic by any stretch. So, Rashee Rice is the guy there. Well, besides Travis Kelce, who's the real guy there. Javonte Williams, definitely another riser. Samaje Perine leaves town, and that definitely adds value to him. Jaleel McLaughlin has not looked fantastic in preseason, so it really is Javonte's backfield to lose. From where we were just like a month ago on him and kind of wavering. I mean, we were even tossing him around as a cut potential or a potential cut candidate. So Javonte Williams now cemented back as the RB1 in Denver with very little pressure coming down, or coming from behind him. So big riser for Williams. You're probably drafting him back in the second round again. Well, maybe like third round.
Yeah, my bust of the year, not feeling too good about it yet. Which is fine. Again, these busts I'd rather be wrong on at the
Yeah.
end of the day. Next guy is Jordan Mason, the RB for the Niners. I know it was kind of like he might take the job from Elijah Mitchell. Now Mitchell's out for the year. Clear cut RB2 in San Fran. I think every year we kind of like rank the RB2 in San Fran is the top handcuff in fantasy. And Mason doesn't have to be a top 30 skill wise RB in the NFL. It doesn't matter for fantasy. If he's in that offense and he's running the ball, if he's hurt, he's a league winning guy. Like it doesn't matter the skill at the end of the day, which is something I learned way too late in fantasy.
Yep.
Skill matters a bit. Situation matters the most. And if no one's there to challenge him, then sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at it the same way with San Fran and like Philadelphia over the past few years. Like, whoever's there is going to run through the massive holes that are created by this offense or the offensive line. And Jordan Mason could very well be the beneficiary of it. He was one CMC turned ankle away from a massive role. So, love that one. And then Najee Harris, I have as another riser here, just because of the injury to Jaylen Warren, his lack of time to get up to speed in training camp and preseason. Now Najee Harris comes in as a solidified RB1 in a backfield that was probably up for grabs, when the season started. So Najee Harris definitely looking like a beneficiary of the Jaylen Warren misfortune.
Couldn't agree more. All right, getting to our fathers, Zamir White, and it's nothing that he did wrong, but months ago, heading into like, the research and all, based off of last year, he got like 25 touches a game the last 4 weeks. Josh Jacobs got traded slash cut pretty much, so. The door's open for Zamir White, but I think the steam has fallen off where he's falling down. I'm not going to say he's a bad pick by any means, but I'm just saying ranking wise, he has fell probably 10 picks since probably May. And
Yeah,
he
I'm
could,
getting him late in drafts,
yeah,
and I'm happy with the value on him there,
he
but
could be a
so much
steal.
later.
So these are falls. These aren't busts we're talking about. These are guys that have fallen, maybe for not the right reason at all. And if he doesn't have third down duty, so like a lot of teams don't have a guy that's on the field the entire time. So Zamir White plays 60% of snaps. It's an absolute win in the what 10th round, 11th round.
Oh yeah, 100%. Nick Chubb, another faller for different reasons, I suppose, but all of his workouts were coming out about a month ago. Like, he's going to be ready for week one. Look at him squatting 600 pounds. He looks like he's running. He's doing cuts. He's on the field, yada, yada, yada. And then blah, ow, last week we get hit with the, he's going to be on PUP for the first 4 weeks at least. Definitely right then and there, you're seeing immediately drop in value. And then to top that off even further, we kind of discussed it today. It's like, if the Browns are winning, what's the sense in bringing Nick Chubb back any sooner than you need to? If they're losing, what's the sense of bringing him back at all? And there's very few outcomes where Nick Chubb is back like week five, unless he's just like 100% ready to go and the team's like 2-2 and they're really on the cusp and they're battling with some, you know, AFC North rivals. Sure. But as far as his value goes right now, it's about as low as it's going to get, especially in terms of if you have any drafts this next week. Like, people are going to look at him and go, he's not playing for 4 weeks. Jerome Ford will be drafted ahead of him, as he should be. And, you know, if you can snag him in like the 12th round, I think you probably still do. But that, even that might be a stretch.
I mean, it could be like a Michael Thomas from years ago. I was out for a bit, but he's out for the year.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, it's someone that I'm not drafting at all in any format. Let someone else deal with it. If he hits, great. You know, I'll manage my team a different way. But even those like workouts that we saw, you know, him squatting, I think we even said in the podcast like months ago, like, yeah, that's him squatting. That's not him running on a football field and cutting. Yeah. That's a lot different than
a stationary lift is not the same as
exactly.
Running. So the reason that you start your rehab with weight training.
Yeah. Start it a month ago. Yeah. Just starting it, guys.
You do not finish your rehab with that. You finish with athletic maneuvers. So very interesting that anybody cares about squats ever, but we all do. We like to see the videos.
He's a tank. A faller. Jalen Warren, we touched about that on the Najee Harris riser. They're kind of going back to back almost in drafts. Jalen Warren got hurt, and that one's kind of a definitely Harris picked a few rounds before Warren now. Still draft Jalen. I think he does have a rule, but week one, not sure if he plays. If he does, not sure he gets a more than 25% of the snaps, if that, to be honest. So he's definitely a faller.
Yeah, definitely. Another running back on this list, Jonathan Brooks. He's on PUP again. Very similar conversation with Nick Chubb, other than the fact that we never really thought he was going to be ready for week one. Those stories never came out about Jonathan Brooks. Like, we've heard he's looking all right, he's looking better, he's looking healthy, but we have never heard that he was going to be ready week one. As we trend closer to the season, I don't know how close we really know that he is to playing NFL football this year. I know we all like to think that he'll be out there, but we have to remember the Carolina Panthers invested a significant amount of draft capital in this player, and there's really no reason for them to rush his recovery along or get him on the field in a year that's probably not going to be that favorable for the Panthers. So he continues to fall in drafts, and I think that's the correct direction he should be trending. He's a guy that I absolutely will not draft. I mean, dynasty, sure, all day long. Redraft leagues, he's absolutely off limits for me. I won't have him in any redraft format.
That's fair. I mean, I do love Brooks. I think he's giving me good, but you're right. This team sucks. No point to put your...
He can redshirt.
Yeah, exactly. Next, I think, is the biggest faller of the entire year. Kendre Miller. So much hype after last season. You know, could they cut Kamara because he's there? If Kamara's even still there, could he be Kamara from, you know, Kamara's rookie year? It doesn't help if the coach is saying, I don't like him. He's not healthy. Dennis Allen is just the worst coach too. But if your head coach doesn't like you or doesn't believe in you, and right away, like, yeah, you're going on PUP. And he might even be fine to play, to be honest, but Dennis Allen's like, yeah, you're going on PUP. Screw you. So I think Kendre Miller is not even draftable in leagues now, which is sad because I was really high on him. as like a sleeper coming into this season, but his value has absolutely plummeted without him even touching the field.
Yeah, that sixth rounder in Dynasty that Stecky sent me is looking better and better.
I was gonna say, I'm like, you might want to take that, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, like you said, he was honestly in the conversation with usurping Alvin Kamara's role, and now he's only bad news, and now I'm pup. Like, that sucks. Yeah, I mean, it's back to like Jamal Williams is the second running back that you're happy to draft.
And we thought he'd be easily cut. Yeah,
I did not think Jamal Williams would be on the team. That's for sure. So,
same.
Very, very big change in the thought process in New Orleans. Next faller, Jahan Dotson. Kind of an easy one. He got traded to a situation where he is no longer even like a viable pass catching option. He's going to be buried behind much more talented wide receivers in Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, versus where he was in Washington just a week ago. And
Dallas Goedert too.
Yeah. Yep.
And
Dallas Goedert
Barkley.
And Barkley. Yep, for sure. So like just absolutely buried in terms of pecking order versus probably being the number two option in Washington, maybe the number three, if you look at it, that McCaffrey was going to usurp him. But either way, he's gone from a viable on field, probably 70% of the time kind of player to he might be a 25% snap share kind of wide receiver, which is dog shit.
All right, I'll let you take the next one because I think you put this on here.
Yeah, through Mark Andrews as a faller, only because the other tight ends in Baltimore have looked really, really good. And we have not seen Mark Andrews at all. We haven't seen him at practice. We have not seen him on the sideline. He was in a car accident that everybody says is fine and he's completely unharmed, but we haven't seen him since. We haven't seen him play. We haven't seen him practice, and we haven't heard from him. So I'm not sure how he is. I don't know that he's ready to play week one. There's a lot of question marks. I think Mark Andrews is still a top tight end that should be drafted probably in the top five. But if my choice is now between like Andrews, Kittle, McBride, maybe a couple other guys, not Njoku, he's a little bit further down in the tier break, but even Evan Ingram, if you wanted to argue that you're going to take a flyer on Evan Ingram over Mark Andrews, I'd say, all right, I get it. Like, there's a lot of question marks going around. Now, if Andrews comes out and plays the whole season and is uninjured and completely fine, yeah, this will bite you in the ass, and his falling might be even called into question. But there is a lot of concern in Baltimore that we have not seen this guy, and we don't know how he is, and we can't get a report, and we don't even know what the actual injuries he may have sustained in this car accident were. And it's being kept very hush-hush because we don't need official reports yet.
It sounds like Baltimore, though. I mean, they keep a lot of shit. Like,
very
oh,
Baltimore.
Dobbins will be back soon. No, he's out for the year. So they didn't really tell you much. Yeah, that's – I actually didn't think about that at all, to be honest. I have a draft tomorrow night. So if I see Andrews on the board, I'm going to pass on him and take like a receiver instead.
Yeah. Harbaugh said, let's see, this was 10 days ago. Harbaugh said, don't worry about Mark. He's going to be just fine. But he was involved in a car crash the week before. So that puts it to 17 days ago. And we have not seen him at practice since. So that's 2+ weeks where he has not been out of practice or played in a game. All the while, Isaiah Likely has looked very good. And who's the other tight end there that I can't think of his name? Doesn't matter. It'll be Isaiah Likely if there's anybody else playing tight end on that team.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we saw last year with Travis Kelce missing week one out of nowhere. It's like, crap, I dropped him in the first round. I'm screwed.
Who's another tight end? It's going to drive me. Oh, Charlie Kohler.
Coley. That son of a bitch.
Kohler has got an impacted molar. Damn, kids are brutal.
Ugh, they're so mean. Kids these days have no respect for elders. It's insane.
Oh, man. When I was a kid, man, the worms were my money.
You said it like 8 times.
I couldn't remember. I had said it already.
All right. Before we end this, again, podcast 300. Dallas, what's one thing that I guess you've learned from doing all these podcasts, like one thing that's changed your mind in fantasy or that you learned or anything? Just say.
That's a tough one. I'm going to go with not something that I've done, but something that I've definitely learned is that if you just draft by ADP, you will not come in last place in your league. And
Yeah.
that's just a straight up fact. It's when you try to get too crafty and you end up putting yourself in bad positions, like, oh, I'm going to take a flyer on this guy and get my guy right now. And then you look at your draft board and you're like, what the fuck was I doing? It's
Yeah.
like, just idiot. Go in with the proper research, know your league mates, know where these players are going. Listen to the podcast for risers and fallers and all these breakout sleepers, bust candidates. There's a lot of good intel in there. And then follow the ADP information because it's generally very reliable. And on top of that, I guess you can kind of couple these two things together. Ignore preseason hype. Just altogether ignore it. Like, don't shoot a guy up the board because you're like, oh, dude, he had a great preseason game. Like, just shut up. Just shut up and go with the studs.
Yeah, and I was gonna say the same thing. Preseason hype, even before that hype, like on Sleeper or anything like that, like ignore it. Pick up this guy if you can. Like, don't drop a viable guy to pick up, an awesome guy that ran for 100 yards on touchdown in week two of preseason because he's gonna be cut.
Yep.
Yeah, and back with you said, like, go by ADP. I think we don't do that because like we believe in our rankings, our values. But I think what we did learn too, it's like again, don't oh I think this guy's gonna be better than his ADP. Don't reach for him. Get him later during at his ADP. Like if you
Right,
think
right.
me like Deontay Johnson this year, I think it's gonna be great. I'm not going to reach and get him in the fourth round. I'll wait till I get him in the
Right.
eighth. Like,
Exactly,
great.
exactly.
I, in my mind, I got a steal. So, yeah, it's one of those like, don't look back. It's like, damn, I took that guy before that guy. It's like, what the fuck am I doing? Like,
Yeah.
I believe in this guy, but like that much? No.
And again, I look at it as the inverse too. Like, if you see a guy that's ADP is like a round one pick and he's hanging out in the fifth, sixth round, like I was texting you about Anthony Richardson, like hung out in my draft forever the other night. And I was like, I already have Dak, but I will take Anthony Richardson and Dak back to back in round six and seven if he falls to me again. Cause I had three teams waiting on quarterbacks and they let him go, let him go, let him go. And I'm like, well, I'm not letting a guy take Anthony Richardson as his first quarterback in the sixth or seventh
Because
round. Like,
that guy's gonna
he's gonna win
win
the
the
league.
entire, yeah.
I was like, I'll cut that off at the source right now. And I think part of that is also don't try to predict injuries. Don't not draft a guy because he might get hurt. We saw that happen with Christian McCaffrey last year. And the girl, actually, it's my buddy's ex-wife in our league. She has Christian McCaffrey as a keeper this year, and she picked him at like 109 because everybody was all shook about him being
Injury
hurt.
prone,
He was
yeah.
injury prone. It's like, dude, just take the guy at the spot where he should be taken based on if he plays a full slate of games, wherever you think that that might be. And live and die by it. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. It's football. They're going to get hurt. You're not going to have every team stay fully healthy. If you do, you got lucky and you should win every single league. Like, that's just it. So don't try to predict things you can't predict. Play by the math that you already set up for yourself with your rankings. Don't stray from that any more than you have to. Also, remember, it's fantasy football. It's fun. Always make sure to steal your buddy's picks as soon as he's about to take them. Me and Derek
Yeah,
implemented
it's
that
fun.
against you, Scotty. And
It was
it was a
fun.
blast.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a little salty about that, but I mean, it's fun, especially a live draft. It's fun.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole injury thing, I think we didn't learn that. I think we kind of already knew that when we started this. But I feel like now people do understand that. Like, you can't predict everyone's injury prone. Everyone is.
Everyone.
Like, if you say, like, Tank Dell's injury prone. He had a freak injury last year out of nowhere. The guy hasn't missed a game since his freshman year of college. Like, he's not
Right.
injury prone. Like, he got hurt his rookie year, and now he's tagged as an injury prone guy.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson gets a hamstring injury and then like a pulmonary embolism or pulmonary contusion, whatever it was, back to back. Oh, he's injury prone. If you watch the receiver show, he goes, dude, I haven't missed a game since high school.
Yep.
It's like, he's like, I don't even know what to do. I'm like, I've never not been on the field. It's like, yeah, these guys are, they're not injury prone. They're just playing at a very fast pace against other very large men running at fast speeds. Like, it's freak stuff. It could happen to anybody. whatever. You even see these like apps and these Twitter pages and whatever come out, and they're like, I'm the fantasy football like doctor. I'll predict or fantasy football injury predictor. It's like they have a 72% chance of like tearing their
Yeah.
ACL this year. Like, based on what? Based on the fact that he plays football? Yeah, anybody that plays at MetLife goes up to an 85% chance.
Yeah, if you're playing on yeah, exactly. Well, one thing I guess I've learned is when we started this podcast, now it's 4.5, 5 years ago now. Of course, we were so high on draft RBs early, receivers are deep, and I think the more research that we did, we're like, fuck, we were wrong. Like, and I think the first year we did our like TSF league, we're like, let's just do the draft like we never do our draft. Let's do like receiver heavy, all this stuff. Like, damn, this makes a lot more sense. And again, it changes during the draft, like who falls to, but we would like not reach, but like if there was like a CeeDee Lamb there at round two, nope, I'm going RB, no matter what. And I think I did learn that, like, let the draft fall to you. Don't have a strategy. And I think it works out in your favor more often than not. Don't fill the positions just because, oh, I need a tight end in round, seven to fill the
Yeah, oh yeah,
roster.
it's my last spot. It's like, cool.
No, get the tight end late. Like,
Understand tier breaks, like.
you have missed out on the top six. You might as well wait. So that's one thing I did learn a lot.
I do think that's partially the changing landscape of the NFL as well. Like, we used to have a lot more stud running backs on teams. Like, now every
All right.
single team is a committee. So, yeah, like, to your comment, like, evolve with the league. You have to evolve your draft strategy as it comes to you.
Follow the money. The money is a wide receiver.
Exactly.
And also, one thing I did think that we have done fantastic in the last 2 years is really look at running back like backfields and seeing how they work out in the first couple weeks of the season. Example, last year, the first 4 weeks with the Carolina Panthers with Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard. And I remember on podcast, I mean, you were like, this looks like a Chuba Hubbard backfield. Yeah, he's not getting as many points, but look at the snap counts. It doesn't, yeah, cool. This guy, ran into the end zone. Great. But she was playing more than him. And we kind of, say, pick up Chuba Hubbard now before it's too late, kind of thing. So I think a big thing for me and you is like we're starting to realize, and I do, my players to pick up now before like before, oh my God, I'm starting so fucking bad, before waivers happen, because you can get these guys and get them for free before they cost what, $25 in fab. So pay attention, because once, Chuba took over, then he's worth what, 25 bucks fab, when should have had him, 5 weeks before that.
I was gonna say too about the fab, like, I've definitely learned just spend it. Like, don't be so penny pinching with it. Like, if you see a guy that pops, like Puka Nacua pops off in a week, just go spend $10 on him. Week one, take the flyer. Fuck it. Like, it's not gonna be the end of the world if you drop $10 on a guy in 1 week and then he sucks again. Like, you still have $90 to go. Not a big deal. You see these guys, like, they finish in seventh place out of 12 teams in your league and they miss the playoffs and they have $96 left in fab. It's like, well, what'd you do to make your team better? Like, redraft is
I'm gonna
such
save
not
it.
a trading, like, there's not a lot of trading that happens in redraft. It's very rare, at least in my league. So, like, maybe we just all don't trust each other or whatever it might be, but like, fab is where you improve your team in season and redraft leagues to me. So go spend it. Like, so I don't know. That's another one of
Yeah,
my takes.
you don't win in the draft.
Yeah. You can position yourself all right, but you can't win.
All right. Dow's podcast 300, take us out.
Well, Shelfies, we really appreciate you following along for this 300 episode journey. We're stoked that you're still with us. As always, Send us your lineup questions as we head towards regular season. If you want into the listener league, please send us any sort of comment saying that you want in. We'll get you in there. We got some great swag to give away. We've got the Nico Collins signed jersey. We've got the Kyren Williams signed jersey. So please reach out to us. We want to give away some free stuff to some of our fans. We want you in the league with us. We want to kick your ass in the league too, but that's just a fun thing for us. But again, for the 300th time, let me tell you, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid, stay loose.